Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Here we are in Phoenix, Wednesday of Super Bowl week, getting closer and closer to the big game, and one of the biggest guests of the week, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, head coach of the Washington Commanders, and, I was just told, the recipient of the 12th USAA NFL Salute to Service Award. You're the winner, Ron Rivera.
There you
go.
Thank
you. No, thank you, guys. It's an honor, as far as I'm concerned, because of the fact that my father served 32 years in the United States military, and really, my background as a kid growing up, all over the United States, all over the world for the most part, you know, being on in Fort Meade, Maryland, Fort Lewis, Washington, Fort Ord, California, you know, going to Fort Gulick, Panama, going to Heidelberg, Germany, you know, my education was through the military of the world. So very grateful, very honored, and really do appreciate USAA.
How much does, you know, we talk about it a lot with, like, football has got a military aspect of it.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I mean, how much does that carry over to you in your experience?
It carries over a lot to me because I've had several military personnel come out and speak to us. You know, I've had lieutenant colonels. I've had three-star admirals, four-star generals come and speak to our guys. I've had first sergeants who were double amputees who you know, lost both legs in Afghanistan come speak to our guys. And the biggest thing I've taken from those guys is about culture. Building the right type of culture. And that is something I think that has helped us as we've gone through it, you know, whether I be in Carolina or now in Washington with the Commanders.
How has that helped you as well? Because I think you've done a great job of sealing off as best you can all the other stuff going on in the organization. Because it trickles through to the players. They've talked about it.
Yes.
How do you use that experience to get them to forget about it, set it aside, and focus on the job as it stands for right now?
Because that's really what I learned from these guys is it's about the job at hand, the task at hand. You've got to be able to focus in on and make sure you understand what's important and what's interesting. I don't ever want to downplay the things that happen, but for us, we can't impact it. We can't change it. What we can do is focus on where we are right here and now. And that's the thing I think credit to our players. They've been able to compartmentalize things. And, you know, for 3 hours a game, just put it aside. For time to go into practice, be in that practice, being in meetings, being with your teammates. Those were the things that we preached to our guys, try to get them to stay focused. So we try to keep things separate.
Right. You guys always seem focused and ready to go. You know, you had a few wrinkles with, like, the quarterback situation this year. I'm always intrigued by this, Coach. I don't know if I've ever really asked a head coach this. But when you're thinking about, you know, Heinicke, Carson Wentz, all of that, you know, how stressful are those decisions as a head coach? Are you literally, like, eating dinner? Did you flip-flop a few times? Just kind of take us inside your brain there.
Well, you know, as we were going through this and really thinking about what we wanted to do with the offense, you know, get the ball out, get it going vertically, get into the hands of our playmakers, and, you know, and we felt we had a guy in Carson who could go vertical.
Right.
When we lost Carson after the Chicago game and we went to Taylor, now it was about getting to these guys' hands as quickly as possible and then relying on the running game as well to take some of the pressure off of Taylor instead of forcing him to make plays. And then you're right, you know, as we got later into the season and started thinking, you know, when's a good time to do that, make that move? that's always something you're always thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it like it's just always? It's just like a pit in your stomach, and
yes.
And then finally you just have a moment of clarity where you go, okay, I'm going to make this move.
Yes, you know, and that's really what came down to in trying to decide and giving Sam Howell the last shot in terms of starting and playing against Dallas, was going through that for a couple of days, trying to decide. A couple of times I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go back to Taylor, and then thought, well, you know, after talking to some folks, decision, you know, and helping me with my decision, finally going with Sam and giving him that opportunity to play against Dallas in the closer.
Right. And now decisions need to be made moving forward. How much of Sam Howell's performance in that final regular season game helps you decide on what the path of the position is for 23?
Well, you know, to answer that, Mike, the biggest thing we decided is he will start off as QB1. He will most certainly get the first opportunity. We go into OTAs and minicamp. You know, he'll be QB1. He'll fight for that position. We'll give him every opportunity to earn it, and we'll see what happens once we get into training camp and through it.
And just so I understand what that means, because we've got, I think, an unprecedented quarterback musical chairs coming
yes.
in free agency. You're not in that this year.
No.
You're out of it.
No, I think the biggest thing is, you know, is we have to find a guy to come in that's going to compete, you know, but in terms of finding a guy that you're gonna have to spend a lot of capital on, no, we're not looking for a guy we got to spend a lot of capital on. We're looking for a guy who's going to come in and compete first and foremost.
So exact opposite of last year when you guys called
yes.
every team literally, which
yes.
was smart. Let's
yep.
find out who's available. That's not your business this year. It's Sam Howell with a veteran backup, which you'll sift out once the music stops and the starter spots
right.
are all filled.
We want to find the right situation, a guy that can come in and be that supporting guy that can really help him grow and become the guy that gives you an opportunity to win football games.
All right, let's get to some fun stuff here, all right? Because you're a defensive guy. You played defensive football in the NFL. You were on the 85 Bears. You've been a great defensive coordinator. You're a defensive-minded head coach. Is the rules with the quarterback hits right now driving you crazy? Because
yes.
it's driving me crazy. We call it nothing the passer instead of roughing the passer. How are you? To me, it's chopping a leg out from
yeah.
defensive coaches and the intimidation factor.
Yes, and that's one of the things that, you know, that's really kind of come throughout the entire game is we've tried to try and do the right thing, find the right ways to make it safer for everybody. But we also have to understand at some point the guy's going to take a hit. He's
right.
going to take a big hit. And no fault of the defensive player. So we just have to find that balance that says what that guy did is football. Or what that guy did was beyond football.
Right.
Like, I get the full body weight, and I'm talking about the full pick the guy
I
up,
got
turn,
you.
And dump him.
Right.
But when you're just running a line stunt, let's say, and you win, you're completely free, and the next thing you know,
you're just hitting the guy.
You're hitting the guy.
Right.
We have to be able to find out what that balance is, because this is an entertaining game, and if the game is played the right way,
yeah.
and we've taken all the safeguards, okay, and those things happen. That's
sure.
part of football.
That's great, yep.
Then let's do that.
So you feel like we've gone a little too far here?
I think we have. I think we
yeah.
have to find what that right
happy
line
medium
is. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is the rule says expressly, when in doubt, throw the flag.
Yeah.
So if there's any doubt, they throw the flag. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be ironed out.
Well,
why do we rely on doubt being resolved in favor of saying, okay, I'm not sure what I saw, so it's roughing the passer.
Yeah. And I think that's where we have to be careful, because if it looks like it, okay, but it doesn't smell like it, maybe it's not.
Yeah,
so
right.
We have to really find – and maybe, who knows, maybe it's using technology. Maybe being able to go back and saying, you know what, I have to challenge that. That has to be maybe a tool that we may have to go to.
Well, and there's been talk that's
yes.
going to be on the table. It sounds like
yes.
it's something you'd support.
I would. I would most certainly like us to find the right solution to that and use the technology to help us. I mean, we had a game this year, a couple games
yeah.
that
would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
Well, that's
know.
My next question, because there's certain things you can't say publicly
yes.
after a game like that, and you did a good job of restraining yourself. What happens behind the scenes generally when you feel like you've been on the wrong end of a bad call? What do you do?
What I'll do is I'll reach out to the league, and you know, and I know the people I should call, so I call the folks and I talk to them and say, look, you know, this is something we have to be smart about. We have to be careful about, because, you know, with everything that's going on, and now get, you know, betting's there, we've got to get this right. We've got to be careful, because the integrity is the most important thing, and
yeah.
that's something we have to be well aware of. So we've got to find a solution to make sure we're getting it right.
How do you feel about full-time officials? I'm sorry, I had to get that out.
I'd love to have full-time. I really would. Just so these guys can constantly work their craft, constantly be focused in on what their job is and what they do in terms of, you know, this game. Because, you know, it is really one of those things that, you know, that their decisions impact careers. they impact winning and losing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of people at stake there with those decisions. All right, last one, just because you're one of the three teams to beat the Eagles.
Okay.
Give us a little bit of a clue on what it takes to beat this team.
Well, remember, we're the one team that beat the Eagles with the same quarterback.
Oh, baby, I like it.
No, and again, I got tremendous respect for who Philadelphia is. I really do. And one of the things that we felt we had to do is we had to control the ball.
Right.
We had to control the clock. If Jalen Hurts is not on the field, okay, it's hard for them to score. Now, their defense could score because they've got tremendous football players,
right.
But that was the thinking. So we ran the ball 49 times against
them. Phenomenal, I know.
And that was able to really kind of keep the game.
Third and fours,
exactly.
Third and twos.
So if you can get yourself in that type of situation where there's quick throws that get the ball out of the quarterback's hands and guys going forward and keeping the clock going, that may be something that could be very beneficial.
Right.
Coach, it's always great seeing you. Congratulations. 12th annual Salute to Service Award winner. It is Ron Rivera, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, Commanders head coach. All the best in 2023. We look forward to talking to you, and we'll be back with Cowboys receiver. Don't let them see Ron Rivera. Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb when PFT Live continues right after this.
Nothing that says on Christmas Eve you can't make third and six. Snap back, throws the ball deep to the middle. Lamb at the five. Stop, spin, dances in. Touchdown, Cowboys. Snap to Prescott, looking right, looking middle. Throwing right, touchdown, CeeDee Lamb. Wide open, two today for Lamb.
Yeah, that's getting too easy now.
There he is, a couple of touchdowns scored on Christmas Eve in that great game against the Philadelphia Eagles. CeeDee Lamb, Cowboys receiver. CeeDee, welcome.
Appreciate it.
Second team All-Pro.
Yep. Yeah, baby.
On his way to first team All-Pro.
Need that first.
Right? Got any you don't have any contract incentives as far as first team, second team, right?
Maybe in the next deal.
Yeah, potentially.
You're up for one now, right?
Yep.
3 years in. Yep. You're good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
When are you going to get it?
I don't know. Only time will tell.
Sooner the better is what he's saying.
Hey.
We all like money.
Facts.
You know?
Facts.
Right. All right. So let's jump off right there with what we saw. The Eagles. Like, give us the CeeDee Lamb scouting report. What's the secret, you think, to kind of beat the Eagles and maybe for the Chiefs to win this game?
You got to be aggressive to them before they start getting rolling towards you. And, I mean, granted, I see them twice a year.
Right.
So our approach is going to be a lot more different than anyone, like the uncommon opponent, should I say. So as for us, it's about just going out there, being yourself, staying true to your game plan. Their D-line is going to be a D-line.
Right.
So regardless of the situation, you just got to stay true, stay on schedule, stay on time, and you'll be straight.
You seemed like you guys took the avenue of we think we can throw the ball on them, right? There's been some talk. I don't know if you heard that this week. Brandon Ayuk at the 49ers was like, I think the Chiefs are going to be able to throw.
They can.
Yeah.
They can.
So you felt like there were some favorable matchups for you guys in that department?
Most definitely. And
what was it exactly?
It's really just more so the coverage, right? We like our matchups regardless of who plays us man, right?
Right. Nobody
Dallas,
can play you man. You
not necessarily.
Right.
I like me regardless. But
right.
It's and then you got guys like as far as in this game plan, you gotta weigh your options, right? I mean, third down and distance is important.
Yeah.
That all plays a factor on how they're gonna play you. In a situation to where like you gotta play where everything favors yourself.
Right.
Take your 3 yards. Take your 5 yards.
You got to stay in third and four so they can't blitz and that D-line can go crazy and all that crazy stuff.
They go crazy, bro.
So that's what the coaches preach to you kind of all week is stay ahead of the chains.
You got to stay on schedule.
Right.
You have to stay on schedule.
Right.
I'm going to throw a quick curveball at you here because when you came into the NFL, Kyler Murray was lobbying for the Cardinals to draft you. You're close with Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
How's he doing after the torn ACL and just kind of a weird year? I'm always concerned. I feel like he's like my son. Like I've always been concerned about Kyler and want the best for him and hope he's doing well. How is he doing now?
Oh, well, man, he's in great spirits. He's actually moving around, of course. But, as you can tell, he's a competitor. He already thinks he can run. He's trying to be too ahead of schedule. I need him to, relax a little bit, but definitely been checking up in on him before our playoff game and everything, just kind of making sure he's all in great spirit and that he is.
How about your own quarterback, right? There was a lot of talk about him there. It was a little bit of a roller coaster ride there,
right.
Dak, the passing game, all of that. You You know, where do you think his frame of mind is right now? I mean, do you think some of the scrutiny he gets is deserved? Like, how does that kind of play in the locker room?
I wouldn't say deserved. I don't think anyone deserves the criticism that he gets.
Yeah.
And I feel
it
like
it goes too overboard.
They are crazy, bro. Because if someone, I don't know. I mean, granted, he.
It's the Cowboys.
Okay, I get it. Okay, right. So if anyone, Dak wasn't the leading interception throw or whatever last year. And I guarantee you, whoever was did not get what he was getting.
No, Matthew Stafford was, actually.
And he won a Super Bowl.
Right. The interception thing's overrated.
That's not, bro. Like, he plays a great defense, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to understand, it's football. A lot of other people get paid to make plays. But the way that he gets talked about is crazy. Like, it's wild. Yeah. I don't think he deserves it. But
Does it affect him?
He'll fool me. I'm not going to lie. Because the way he comes in week in and week out, regardless of the situation, it's all on. You can't think about last week. You can't think about last week. You got to focus on it now. And you got to do, you know, be where your feet are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's a big advocate of that. And he's I've learned so much as far as, like, letting the past be the past and living in the present. I've learned so much from him just off of how he's performed this year. You know what I'm saying? Just understanding, like, he'll go throw two picks here. And the next game, he'll give you four touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, bro.
And that game against the Buccaneers.
Right.
That was
phenomenal.
As good as he's ever looked.
Right.
That's the crazy. I mean, just seeing how the media react to Dak is one of the funniest moments, quite honestly. It's just, I don't say much, but I see a lot, right?
So yeah, right.
Just looking, I watch how he play. Of course, I'm there, but I go look at the media. Everybody's Dak this, Dak that. After a good game.
Yeah, I got you. No, listen, we're ones that'd be there that are defending him a lot of the times. Going, we don't really
crazy,
get it,
bro. It'd be, and then the next week I see the same names.
Right.
Kind of weird to me. Weird energy.
I hear you. There's a little hater going on there with Dak Prescott. I don't really get it either. I think. You know, and not to say he was perfect all year long.
Yeah,
we know he had
all.
Some bad games, whatever. But I hear you. It goes overboard. All right, so let me ask you this, too, because this is something we talk about a lot as well. Like, your owner, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Absolutely.
But do you guys, as, like, a team, feel the pressure, you know, that, hey, Jerry's getting older and he's getting desperate and, you know, he wants one? I mean, we feel it. I feel like in our business, does the locker room feel it?
We want one for him.
I know.
It's not like we just going to go out here and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to blow this game. Sorry, fellas, it's a new season. We're just going to blow this game, and it's going to be in a divisional round again, so just get ready. Yeah, nah, that's never the case. But just always just being out there, understanding the situation. Like, bro, we haven't had a Super Bowl come through here since 1993.
Yeah.
I see this.
95.
Five.
Yeah. I'll get you right. Don't worry.
No, I'm not even going to snitch on nobody, but someone just told me that.
93? Don't worry.
I was thinking five.
Lots
I was
of money
thinking,
to be the expert.
I was thinking five, but.
It was before you were born, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that was obviously well.
It was actually here in Arizona. They beat the Steelers Super Bowl 30. I was here as a 15-year-old kid.
Way to tell on yourself.
Yeah, like that?
Yeah, I
was 30.
I dig that. But most deaf. We got Dallas deserves one, and I don't think it's a city out there that, you know, really deserves one even more. I mean, we got everything we need. We have the players, we have the coaches, we have the plays.
Yeah.
It's all about us going out there and actually beating whoever we play in the division around, move on, and then continue our legacy.
Yeah.
49ers each of the last 2 years, the final game in the postseason. Which one hurt a little bit more?
Second one.
Why?
Divisional round. It's my first
last
time
year being, was a wild card, right?
Yeah. The second, I mean, they both hurt. Don't get me wrong. I hate losing, and I hate not, you know, going to the big game. And it's the second time I've been in the playoffs and not been able to, you know, get a stretch going and losing to the same team.
And they always say it hurts the farther you go, too. The deeper you go.
It does.
It's just
a lot worse. Like, you're working extra hard for something that you're so close to, you know?
What about them is that gives you guys an issue? Like, what is it about them? I mean, I know they're talented just like you guys are.
Right. I feel like that's the – if any team would match up with us, well, it would be San Fran.
I mean,
you go look at their roster, you go look at our roster, it don't get no better than that.
Right. A lot of freaks on the field.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Since we're talking about that game, please explain to me what the hell was happening on that last play. What was supposed to happen?
I got a question. What did you want to happen?
Well,
yes,
I wanted
get him,
a touchdown.
All right, we're trying to get a touchdown.
All right, but I've never seen – I always call it the Stanford band play. You're familiar with the Stanford band play from the Cal-Stanford game 1982. Okay, But it never got going.
Yeah.
What was going to happen after Turpin caught the ball?
They really switched, right? So we had the coverage we wanted. They called a timeout because it was really – it was looking actually pretty good to get going. And then they went man to man. So right. As soon as we got the ball started, they made the play and it killed everything.
Right. It just looked weird because Zeke Elliott got pancaked
exactly,
snapping the ball.
Exactly. But yeah. Zeke was going to get taken out regardless. Zeke was a blocker. He wasn't even going to be a part of the play.
So where where was Turpin throwing the ball?
Where was he?
What was he going to do if he hadn't?
He was going to beat Terp until Terp ran out of juice, and then we were going to just get going.
That's right. He's telling you to shut up. He was going to go as far as he could. He was going to toss that damn thing.
I love the idea when I saw Zeke playing center. I love the idea, but Jimmy Ward just shut that down.
All right, now is the important part. All right, I know you went to Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know it.
All that crap. All right. That damn school. I'm so sick of you guys. All right. But you're doing awesome playing football in the NFL. You're one of the best receivers in football. But I don't know about your game selling Old Spice. So let me see that go right now.
Man, come on. First of all, you're going to have a lot of people in your corner tell you a lot of great things, right? You'll have someone. But you're never gonna have anyone ever really tell you that you're kind of, you know what I mean? You ain't smelling too good, like, you know, that you normally do. And Old Spice got this new deodorant with the Swagger. It gives you, you know, it's very long lasting, 24/7.
You're maxed out on Swagger though.
Yeah, but I gotta have a smell with me too to top it off, you know. So just definitely, you gotta involve that, and Old Spice is definitely get you right.
Yeah, it does. I'm a big fan. In fact, my pits are sweaty right now.
Yeah, thank you.
You might need some.
I do. I smell good.
I've been sitting next to him all week. Hey, CD, I've been sitting next to him all week. He does. So, who do you root for on Sunday? Do you root for anybody? You got Jalen Hurts playing, but it's the Eagles.
Oh, it's confusing.
I don't root for nobody. I'm just watching the game.
Right.
You will watch the game, though? A lot of times guys just won't even watch.
I'll watch the first half and then watch Rihanna, and then I'm done. I'm sure as hell I'm going to – I'm sorry, excuse my language, but I'm going to know who's going to win a Super Bowl, and congrats to them, but don't care.
Damn, is it just because you're just bitter or you just don't want to watch it right now? Or
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
All right. I like that attitude. I'm down with that.
Well, hey, CD, we appreciate – some of your time. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
We hope you get rewarded appropriately this offseason.
Oh, he will.
Appreciate it.
And
we
hope to not see you next year.
Please.
Seriously.
As much as I like you guys, I hope I don't.
I know you like me and him. I know you do. But damn, come on, man. Make a run.
Yeah,
let's
facts.
Go.
Let's get
All
one.
Right. There he is, CD Lamb, Cowboys receiver. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Down by run. Now a play action. Whoa. Wide open is the tight end. And Cash has a touchdown.
That guy to have the presence of mind to spike the biggest catch of his life right into Buddy Ryan's snout. I mean, it was just perfect.
There's Peter King. Commenting on that moment from the 1993 playoffs, the ball was thrown by our next guest, former 49ers and Chiefs for a little while, quarterback Joe Montana, one of the all-time greats. Joe, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining us. How's
it going? I appreciate it. Thank you. Always good to be here.
A legend. I mean, I feel like we can't be at the Super Bowl without talking to Joe Montana. You know, even though you made me cry a lot as a kid. Do you know that? You know, you really did. You
know? Oh, I don't know.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yes, it was for a long time.
We were talking about that earlier, Joe. The 80s, the 49ers, the Giants, Washington,
Bears.
Dallas was still relevant. The Bears. I mean, what a time for football.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Right?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. When Jim Byrne wasn't crushing it or something like that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we had some great rivalries going on. I mean, even the Redskins were playing well, too.
Yeah, right.
Into there. The NFC was pretty strong back then. The Saints.
Did you feel like it was more personal then? Like, we were talking about it a little earlier, like you were saying, where, you know, now with, like, salary cap and free agency, where I feel like there was genuine, like, I don't like the Giants and those guys there. And, like, I felt like Dad was the same towards the 49ers.
You know, it was for the longest time.
Right.
And it's so funny when you talk about your dad. You know, we had this thing going back and forth, and neither one of us knew why until my wife asked me, why don't you like him? I don't know. She goes, why don't you go up and talk to him? And I did, and we've been good friends.
Been good friends ever since.
He couldn't figure it out either. I don't know. Maybe we just played against each other, and neither team liked each other. And then he ends up, you know, working with the boys on throwing the football.
Well,
how about that?
Well, let me see if I
my
can.
Boys.
Let me. It is crazy. It's full circle. Let me see. I feel like I've heard him say this. Dad was quite animated when he used to throw touchdowns.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like he went like pump fist over at your sideline once.
He used to shoot the guns.
Right. Right. And then I believe it might have been the '88 game when you threw the long touchdown to win it, 17-14.
Yeah, I did it back.
You went back, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where it started. Which I wish we had.
Oh
that.
No, it was long before.
It was going for that. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, they played us so tough, and
right?
Well. And it was fun games. Well, not fun games when you look back on them. They were tough
rugged,
ones.
They were.
We had a good defense. They had a good defense.
Can you believe the quarterbacks now? How they don't get hit like you used to? Are you envious of that? Are you looking at it? And go. I would have played 10 more years.
I know. Yeah, you are. I mean, when you look at it, it's at that level of. You know, when you get...
Jeez. We're bringing out all your greatest hits. Marshall, you can tell that my dad was on the Giants, and I'm one of the hosts of the show.
Well, this is the one. Look, I just dodged LT, and I thought I had it made.
Did you have somebody open, too? Jerry was open?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I just dodged LT, and I'm going, in my mind. And I saw Jerry, and I was just getting ready to throw, and he hit me with a full-speed run.
Oh, my gosh, right. Yeah. And it would have been penalized, and you got a first down now.
I know. Right? I know exactly.
I would have kept going.
I tell him all the time that I don't know how his dad survived playing on that green cement.
Oh, no.
With the rules that were in place at the time. I can watch games from the 80s on YouTube, and just the way quarterbacks got hit, receivers got hit. The game was so much more brutal than it is today, and it's been a slow evolution. It's good for the game. It's good for the players, but I have even more respect for guys like you that lived through that somehow.
Yeah, there's been an evolution over time, and even if you look at the game from 20 years before I played, you know, and before there were Super Bowls, you know, there's a guy that won 11 championships in the NFL. And it's just that, you know, the game's going to do that. And obviously so many injuries and the head injury things are.
Yeah.
There's enough injury in the game without. So they're trying to take out the big ones, the big hits, the big stuff where, like for a quarterback, getting that.
Yeah, that pile drive.
That pile
in the ground.
Drive you into the ground. You know, you're the only guy getting hit standing still
right.
by a guy who outweighs you by 150 pounds.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think they get it. I'm all for hitting the quarterback. Just
don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because when you get that feeling that you're off balance, then you know they're trying to hurt you.
Pick you up and do the body weight thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, but the game's still fun to watch. It's
who like. What was the? I feel like we always ask you about all your great Super Bowl moments. I've never asked you like what was the best team you were on that didn't win the Super Bowl. What was the one team you look at to go, oh, you know, man, we were really good that year, and
we were really good the year we lost to Washington, and we were a really good year.
83, you mean that year? 83, you lost in Washington, right?
In
the championship game.
Well, we had two like phantom calls down the stretch to let them kick and win.
Right. They were up 21-3 on you guys, and you came back, right?
Yeah. And then right at the end, we had two defensive penalties that put him in field goal position.
That were suspect.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one was the one where I got hurt. We just saw that. Well, that team was pretty good.
Yeah, that was 90. Yeah. Right. 14-2.
That was going for three in a row. That would have been three in a row, and it felt like it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. We were pretty good that whole stretch. You know, I would joke with Eddie. I go, well, Eddie, if I'd have stuck him around, we might have won more.
Won
than
a few
one more than one.
Damn, I like it. Give it to him, Joe.
That's I joke. Right. Eddie's still a tremendous friend, and love him to death.
Did you ever get nervous? What was the most nervous Joe Montana was? Joe Cool. What was the most nervous you were in a football game in your life?
I would probably say the first Super Bowl that we went to, because you just don't know what to expect. And when you get there, and then you get here, and it's craziness.
Right.
And, you know, you're doing it for the first time. And then, you know, once the game kicks off, you get hit once, and then you're like,
football.
I know where I am.
Right.
Yeah. Better get back over here. So.
Joe, who's the guy now playing quarterback that reminds you the most of you?
You know, I don't ever try to compare. I just watch guys for what they do. They're all so different. I mean, you look at, and then, damn, they're big.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I mean, look at Jalen.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
The thickness. There's more muscle structure to these guys.
I was standing next to the guys and with the Chargers.
Oh, Justin Herbert. He's like RoboCop.
Man, hurting my neck. It's like, golly. But that, you know, they're fun. He's fun. You know, obviously Josh is fun to watch.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
And
yeah,
you got Burrow's fun. I mean, right. There's a lot of good.
Burrow's the one that reminds me the most of you. Just cool, calm. Gets it done.
A lot of them play too much till the playoffs. Yeah,
right.
But I mean, similar style, you know, kind of style. But I don't know.
Yeah. It's amazing where the positions almost evolved from, you know, you're now sidearm throws and back foot, right? Like all this stuff is like just part of the game where it was such no-nos growing up watching you and my dad play and do that.
Can't throw sidearm.
Right, right. Yeah. Don't throw off your back foot. Yeah. Don't throw late over the middle, right?
Exactly.
Now it's like every game, it's a few times.
Yep. Yeah, now you see it all the time.
Joe's here on behalf of Advance Auto Parts. Joe, tell us what you have going on with them.
Yeah, no, I'm just here to help them promote this promotion they got going. And it's kind of a fun one. They call it the most valuable play. So if any quarterback or any player throws a touchdown pass over 25 yards, if you're registered for the promotion at advanceautoparts.com,
right.
Prior to the start of the game,
ooh,
you have a chance to be one of the 25 people who win gas for life. I mean, not for life, sorry. Gas for a year and a $500 gift certificate to Advance. So a little bit of a fun promotion. When you look at the playoffs so far, I don't believe there have been any in the playoffs over 25 yards.
That's crazy. Actually, you know, when you were saying that, I was kind of going through my brain. I was going, you're right. I don't remember a lot of
And in the last 10 Super Bowls, there's only been 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And neither one of these guys. Have them.
I would think that would have been easy money. Really. Yeah, I would go, oh man, sign up. You're crazy not to do this.
No, I think there might be 11. I can't remember the exact part of that, but I think it might be 11 in the playoffs, but neither one of these guys have one.
Right.
And, it's a little fun promotion to keep you watching the game a little bit.
Man, that's a really good one. All right, can I ask him one more one?
Go ahead.
I've always wanted to ask him this, and it's Giants 49ers related. When my dad and Ronnie Lott got in the fight after the game in the 90 Monday night game, right? You guys were both 10-1. The 7-3. Here's the clip.
Were
you aware of this going on or this going or this building up to this during this week?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
You had
no idea. Do you remember this kind of going on during after the game at all?
Oh, I heard about it after, but... I usually got off the field pretty fast.
Right.
The kicker's in there trying to break
Matt Barr's in there. There's Matt Millen in there. There's a lot of people. The story that my dad has always told is Jim Burt instigated it and was telling the defensive guys that Phil had no respect for you guys through the years. Right?
I wouldn't doubt it if you know Jim. There's another kick. Oh, he's a
piece of work,
funny,
right?
Funny guy. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, when your dad was working with my boys throwing the football, we're working out in
his bubble.
In his bubble.
Throwing the football.
In Jim Burt's bubble. Yeah.
Right.
So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
You made a little stir earlier this week by suggesting the 49ers go off the board. No Trey Lance, no Brock Purdy, but Jimmy Garoppolo back next year. Well, it looks like they're moving on. Why do you think they should stick with Jimmy?
Well, I say that with one pretense, is that if Purdy's not healthy. I think if Purdy's healthy, it's his job.
You go with him.
I don't know what's going on with Jimmy. I don't go down there, right. So I don't know firsthand. I would just say if it's me, I'm looking at Jimmy's already gotten and won big games for you and in a lot of games for you. It's trouble keeping him healthy. But until you can prove that Purdy's healthy, you've got a team that's loaded.
Well, they got Trey Lance that they gave up all that to get. Three first-round picks plus.
Do you think
he's not ready? No, I don't.
I don't think he's ready yet. I don't think he's ready to take that caliber team. Talented kid, and he might be partway through the year if he gets more starts. I don't know. But do you want to turn over a team that you want to get off to a great start with a guy that you still might have a question about?
Right.
And that's the thing, is that there's a guy on your roster already, so I don't know how you get rid of him until you make sure the other kid that just tore. I think it's the Tommy John thing,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That anytime you do a ligament in your arm, in your throwing arm, I mean, I tore this off the bone, and this is a cakewalk compared to what he's going to go through in rehab. But you know, obviously the medical advances have gotten better. But hey, I got a guy that can win. Maybe he gets hurt again. I don't know. But I can't discard him until I find out what's up with Purdy.
It's amazing how stacked the 49ers are. At a time when it's quarterback-driven, the 49ers are loaded. They just need a quarterback that can get them over the top.
Yeah.
They need a Joe Montana.
Yeah.
This would be a good team for Joe Montana to play for.
I was throwing balls in the Rose Bowl last Sunday.
You feel good? You getting it out there?
Yeah, you know, I hit that 93-year-old guy right in stride.
Oh, that's awesome. Were you always a little surprised by the fact that the 49ers, you know, wanted to part ways with you, as you were kind of joking about with Eddie DeBartolo? I mean, you won 4 Super Bowls. You're in the NFC Championship game. You're probably going to win if you don't get hurt, because Steve fumbles the handoff when they're running the clock out, right?
The thing was is that I just had one of the best years I had.
Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. I mean, I remember.
All I wanted was. Steve had a decent year the next year.
Yeah.
But all I said is, look, I just don't – to not play at all, I don't get it. I don't get it. You want me to compete for the job? Fine. But to put me as second, I'm not staying for that.
Right.
And if you want to make the change, fine. I got it. But I know I'm better than that. And so I'm not going to finish my career sitting on the bench.
Right.
I went to find a place to play.
And proved it.
Dang, we should have won. We should have gone to the Super Bowl.
So 91, you were healthier to come back. Because I feel like they were playing a little bit of like, oh, you weren't healthy. You were.
Oh, yeah, I was healthy at least halfway through the season,
right.
Not more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you have it.
Well, there it is. Straight from the horse's mouth. One of the all-time greats. Pleasure and honor to have him
here. Thank you, guys.
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
4-0 all-time in the Super Bowl. Pantheon of all-time greats. We'll be back with more right after this.
Great to meet you.
We are still rolling through the week here.
Look at that. It's a middle finger.
Oh, it was a cactus. Look at tomorrow. Justin Jefferson. You know what? I'm going to have to offer him something because he was the PFT Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh.
Now that Christian McCaffrey is getting a putter.
Don't worry.
I've already been researching.
I'm going to make sure you offer
putters.
Now. Right.
Emmett Smith, Tyler Lockett. I hope Emmett brings a bottle of tequila. Sean Payton on Friday. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we got a day.
Justin
we got 2
Fields,
days.
Miles Garrett, Tua still on the schedule.
Boom.
There are some folks in South Florida that are very dismayed by the fact that Tua is going to sit down with us because they regard us as haters of Tua. We love Tua. Tune in Friday to see what Tua says to us and what we say to him. Looking forward to that. It's been fun today.
It has.
We thank everybody that stopped by. Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, C.D. Lamb, Ron Rivera, Joe Montana. What a day.
I feel like...
Who
like,
sets these up? It sure isn't me.
It sure isn't me either. I don't know how you feel, but is it me or do the players and Joe Montana just seem a little more relaxed and a little more willing to like... answer questions that I'm like, I don't know if he's really going to answer this, but I'll ask it.
I don't know if it is. It's two explanations.
Right.
One, they're doing so many of these that they just get worn down eventually.
Probably.
Or two, we're just really freaking good at what we do.
Bam. I
don't know.
Let's lean on that one.
Okay.
Let's
we'll go with
on
that one.
Damn, we're good.
Gosh, that's right. I figured it was that.
We make them comfortable. We soften them up. You soften them up, and then I'll shoot. I'll slip in with one.
We are a good combo that way.
So, and then you'll just get them. You get them nice and loose, and the next thing you know, it's like
the microphone's not here. Animal here.
We're not even on the air. We're not going to use this. What? Nobody sees this, so it all comes out.
Yeah.
One more item about the Super Bowl. We were talking about this earlier. We talked about it earlier in the week. The Chiefs, are they a dynasty? Are they not a dynasty? Andy Reid. I think this is from today, maybe from yesterday. Who knows? They're talking to the media every day. Here's Andy Reid talking about whether or not the Chiefs are a dynasty.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not really into all that. I'll let you guys deal with that. It's important in our world that as coaches and players that you try to get better every day and that you're only as good as your last game, or the next game, I should say. And so we're striving to focus in on this thing, trying not to look at all that stuff. That's good when you retire. You can kind of go, hey, they said we were a dynasty. Well, so, but right now, you don't let that get in here. You stay away from that.
He's very mellow today. Maybe he does need to drink coffee. We talked at the top of the show how he doesn't drink coffee. He's very loose, very chill, very relaxed. And you kind of see that 4 days away from the Super Bowl.
I know. It's not one of them that you go like, oh, it's too relaxed. It's like, damn, they seem confident
they're
and comfortable.
They're here. They know where they are. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it. And they know they're going to go get it done.
Right. I mean, that's what's scary about them, like we've talked about, the last few days. The Eagles are better. But not by so much that the moment, the quarterback, the 2 weeks of game planning and all of that can't even the scales here. And, of course, he's the master of the bye week. I don't know how you are, Mike. I think with Andy, they're not a dynasty yet. This is a really special run. I think if they win Sunday, I think they're a dynasty. It might not be the greatest dynasty we've ever seen, but I think you can classify it as a dynasty.
They're the closest we've seen to one since the Patriots.
Right.
It will be 2 in 4 years,
right.
3 Super Bowl appearances in 4 years.
Right.
And I think we're getting to the point where we appreciate even more just getting here.
Yeah.
3 appearances means a lot. The Bills, 4 straight years, they were viewed as losers, but they still kept coming back. And I think now we recognize it's not the ultimate failure. You still got here. It's a big deal to get here. And I think they're going to keep coming back. I mean, 5 straight AFC championship games at home in an AFC that feels like it's wide open.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, is it really wide open when you got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
No, I think it'll take special people like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert to probably upset that. But that's they're on the precipice here of becoming a dynasty.
Ooh, precipice.
Look at that.
Wow.
And also, I think as we've kind of hit on a little bit, not only almost becoming a dynasty, but the way they're set up, it's like you're saying, it looks like they're going to be here for a little while. You just go through the number of young guys on the football team, and really the majority of the team is young, other than Chris Jones and Travis Kelce. And it's not like they're that old that it's going to fall off anytime here soon.
All right. In addition to Andy Reid and everybody connected to the game who's available to the media every day all week, the commissioner, his annual, they call it State of the League press conference. It's really not it. He talks for 2 minutes and he just answers questions. Mm-hmm. And who knows who's able to get a microphone. A lot of the questions feel a little bit canned, frankly. I don't want to get in any more trouble. I'm already in all the time. But there's a script that is followed, and certain reporters get questions, certain non-reporters get questions, and there aren't a lot of times the commissioner's caught unawares of what he's going to be asked.
Right.
Some of the highlights, he recognized that Thursday Night Football was not good at times, and he would not be surprised if eventually Thursday Night Football games are flexed. And that is a hell of a flex, because you're talking short week. Like, as it currently stands, they have it constructed so they only have 1 short week obligation per team maximum per year. I don't know how you would pull off Thursday night flex.
2 weeks you got to pull them out 2 weeks in advance, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I just don't know how you would do a Thursday. They're going to start with Monday this year. I think it's a matter of time before everything's up for grabs. Like, Christmas needs to be subject to flex.
Yeah, I hear you.
You could argue Thanksgiving, that night game needs to be subject to flex. Yeah. If you're going to flex Thursday night
games. We don't need
games,
Rams-Broncos in the middle game on Christmas Day.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think maybe hidden in that, unsaid, Tuesday and Wednesday. I just feel like it's a matter of time before we have Tuesday
and
Wednesday games.
I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you. I hope it does go that way. I mean, I know you and I are in favor of standalone games. And, you know, again, like we said a few years ago, they proved to us that they could figure out schedules and juggle things around that we could play Monday, Tuesday, and whatever.
It's one of the accidental benefits of COVID.
It was. COVID was an accidental benefit there. And I hope to see it. I really do. Be interesting to see when that does happen.
How about this?
Yeah.
Asked about officiating. For us, the commissioner said, when you look at officiating, I don't think it's ever been better in the league.
Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
No. Sorry, London.
They're throwing the challenge flag on that one.
Yeah, we have to throw the challenge flag on the officiating and the challenge flag in officiating and just...
We just talked to a head coach in football that told you officiating's a problem.
I wrote about this within the past 24 hours as it relates to Mike Pereira, the Fox rules analyst,
right,
agreeing with Aaron Rodgers' recent observation that TV buys up the best referees because the NFL won't pay.
Yeah.
Dean Blandino told me 5 years ago, the NFL doesn't value the position of VP of officiating. The NFL doesn't want to spend the money. Think back to 2012, and this is where the comment became relevant. Roger Goodell, as the replacement official dynamic took root.
Right.
He boasted multiple times the replacement officials will be every bit as good as the regular officials, and they were horrible. People at 345 Park Avenue were stunned that it didn't implode sooner than it did. Remember the Fail Mary game? And then 3 days later, it was all fixed, and
right.
Gene
Get
Steratore
other...
came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big boys are back. Yeah, right. You thought the replacement officials were better than us. Yeah, suck it. That was the attitude. And we know that there are flaws. We know it needs to be improved. We know that full-time officials would help. We know it. We talked about it yesterday with Peter King.
Yeah.
The idea that single dad, got kids, has another job, and then finds an hour on a Wednesday night to review film. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. It's your only professional focus. If you take something, I practiced law and did this for a while. I wasn't as good as either. Now that all statutes of limitations have run on any malpractice claims, I wasn't as good at either when I was doing both. You got to go all in with one, and I eventually did, and it changes everything. These officials have to go all in with one job.
Agreed. I mean, I actually am a little astounded by the comment. It's kind of tone deaf. It really is. I honestly think that comment there is only going to lead to us dissecting how wrong that comment was more. You know, if I was the NFL and I was their PR guy, I'd go, no, address the problem. We weren't perfect this year. There was issues. There was games won and lost, and people's jobs were affected by the refs, and we need to just say, yes, you know, hey, it's good, but certainly it needs to get better, and for all the reasons you just stated and the gambling and everything there. But come on, don't act like it's never been better. Get out of here. I've been watching football obsessively since I was like 6 years old. It was the worst year of reffing ever. It's not even close.
He also said, the reality is our officials are held to an incredibly high standard. Will we try to get better? You betcha.
You betcha.
You betcha. Well, I hope they'll try to get better, but if it has never been better, how can it get better? You quickly go down a rabbit hole
BS.
Just word salad.
Right.
I mean, come on. Acknowledge that there are flaws that we can spend money to improve, starting with full-time officials, embracing technology more than they do.
Definitely.
Come on. Get rid of the 10 yards of chain link and come up with a better way to determine first down. Well, there's so much they can do if they're willing to spend the money.
Right.
They're not willing to spend the money.
It's just like we
talked
about.
And it's okay for us to say it. They're not willing to spend the money.
Well, yeah, and we want them to be better. That's what we're doing it from a positive standpoint.
It's for the good of the game.
Right, the good of the game.
Integrity
of the game. And like we talked about with the NFC Championship game. Like, that should never be able to happen. Oh, wait, I hit a foul ball, but hurry up and pitch the ball so nobody will call it as a foul and it's not a strike.
Call the next play. Call the next play so we can get away with one.
I'm in Wimbledon, the ball went out, but I'm going to serve real quick so you don't really know it went out. Like, come on. Why are we letting, like, basically borderline cheating the game go on?
Fortunately, the show's ending, so we can't get in any more trouble for complaining about the things that Roger Goodell had to say today at his press conference, but you'll see plenty of posts about it at PFT. We'll be back tomorrow with a stellar guest list led by Justin Jefferson, the PFT Offensive Player of the Year and an MVP final. Thanks for some of your time.
See
you tomorrow.
doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.